We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
Okay, so as we start this morning, we're going to come out of 1 James, or James chapter 1. I'll be looking at 12, probably through 18. I may jump a little bit into 19, but James chapter 1, 12 through 19. And man, the Lord makes some crazy statements that before you start reading ahead, the Lord makes statements sometimes that if you'll get out of Bible mode into real mode, it'll goof you up. Like if you really, like if somebody was having a conversation, if you ever had a conversation with somebody and they say something so outlandish that you're just like, what did you just say? Now, sometimes they're brilliant statements. Now, if your friends are better than mine, they're more brilliant than the other statements. But sometimes you have people that make statements that are so knowledge challenged. Like, have you ever had your kids do something and you ask them why? And they start telling you the thought process that went behind it. And you wonder what your wife's family problems are that would cause a child to be born with this deficit. Or maybe you're the wife and you wonder if you picked the wrong genetic pool to connect with to create life. You know what I'm talking about? Why did you? Because you know when you ask your kids why they did something, the first thing they're going to say is, I don't know. And then you're gonna crack that nut a little bit deeper, right? You're gonna put the pliers to it, and you're gonna say, son, daughter, what were you thinking? And they're gonna do this. They're gonna say, well, and from there it's just stupid. When James writes this, when he first said it, I want to dive into it like I would my kid. Listen to this first line. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Now, I don't know what temptation James has ever been in. I haven't had temptation ever that felt like a blessing. Like in my prayers, my prayer looks like Jesus' prayer. And deliver me from temptation. Look, I'll tell you, matter of fact, I pray that the Lord takes my temptations away before they ever get there. I talked to somebody before church, and their kid came and sat down eating a chocolate donut. And I'd never been more proud of a child in my life. And the mom leaned forward and said, man, that looks good. The mom leaned forward and says, I don't eat carbs anymore. What do you eat? Because like 90% of my diet is made up of carbs and red meat. Like the stuff in the don't eat list oftentimes looks like more of my diet. Well, when James writes this, he said, blessed is the man who endures temptation. And I'm like, man, what? No. But then I started diving a little deeper into it. And he's not saying blessed is the man who has a bunch of temptations. He said, blessed is the guy who figures out how to get through his temptations. Here's what I figured out. The word says this. It says, every man has a sin that so easily besets him. We've all got that thing going on in our life that we fight with and that we hope that people never figure out that we fight with as much as we fight with it. For some people, it's self-image. For some people, it's addictions like pornography or alcoholism, or I mean, just put any ism in there you want to. For some people, it's their temper. For some people, it's their relationship with their spouse. For some people, it's their work. For some, I mean, finances. I mean, this thing goes. We all have this thing that can lead us into sin. And that really is, and some of us, it's multiple things. I'll be honest with you. For me, temptation falls in a bunch of different fashions. Like it finds me when I'm not looking for it. And watch this. He says, so blessed is the man who endures temptation. So when James is writing this, he's trying to create this idea that you can get through sin. Because the scripture says this, that sin doesn't come to anybody but way that God makes an escape. So God said, anytime there's temptation, I've always created an exit strategy. That's when these lines began to become connected for me, when I figured out that temptation is going to come. And all the people who aren't trying to act really spiritual right now, like they don't have any, would go, amen. Temptation for 8 or 80, temptation is there. And the word says this, it says, you know what, but blessed is the man who learns how to deal with temptation. Now here's the problem. Most of my life I spent praying that the Lord would remove temptation, and I figured this out, that God does not remove temptation. God's looking for endurance. But so what the church does is we teach people not to ever fight sin, not to ever fight temptation, but we teach them to ignore it and act like it doesn't exist. It's like the stain in your living room rug that you just go buy an area rug because you can't figure out how to get it out. I never will forget my parents. When we lived in Virginia, we had a nice fireplace. We had a two-story house. Had a nice fireplace. My parents went through and redid all the carpet downstairs. And like 2 days into having this new carpet, we built a fire in the fireplace. And I opened the little screens on the fireplace, you know what I'm talking about, with little glass doors and a screen, and I put some wood in, and I turned around to get another piece, and a big chunk of it popped out onto the carpet. It cleared the mantle, the little hearth underneath, right into the carpet, and it sizzled. And my mom came down, she was upset for a minute, and then she goes, whoa, I've got a fix. And she just went to the store and bought a carpet and put in front of it. She goes, look, now it's better. It didn't really solve the problem. We just didn't have to look at it and be reminded of it anymore. You know what? I think we do that a lot with sin. Is we try to carpet, we try to cover up, we try to, rather than figuring out really how to break sin, we just learn how to cover it up. Now watch this. It says this, for when he has been, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, that means that there's a breakthrough point. Let no one say that when he's tempted, don't ever let him say this, that I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone with evil. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and he's enticed. So now here's the thing, can a person be tested by God? Yeah. God will test your mettle, but he'll never send sin your way to test you. Does that make sense? Like you can't say, I'm just going to put this in guy language. God sent this hottie to tempt me. No, he didn't. Scripture says this. It says, pay close attention to this. It says, nor does he himself tempt by anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and is enticed. Now, you can be enticed by sin, but there's also something that comes before the enticement. It's desire. Sinning is fun. I mean, if your sin wasn't fun, you didn't do it right. Thank you, somebody, for getting in agreement with that, because I feel like the only good sinner in the building. Like, when I used to sin as like a hobby and like a life choice, it was fun for a season. That's what the word says. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Now here's what I figured out. Was that I've got a message. I've been trying to preach it for 3 weeks. And I can't decide whether it goes in a trash can or whatever. But when the woman is caught in the issue. With the issue of adultery, right? And she's drug out into the street. Naked. Jesus makes a statement to her that will just wreck you. He looks at her and says, woman, where are your accusers, right? He draws in the sand and all that stuff. And it's just her and Jesus left there. And he says, woman, where are your accusers? And she looks at it and she says, I don't have any, I guess. And then he makes a statement. He looks at her and says, go and sin no more. Don't sin anymore. This chick was just caught in the act of adultery. I mean, like, if she just sinned less, I'd be happy. But you know what he looked at her, what he was really saying to her was this, and it's the same thing he's saying to you, is you were never made for sin. The reason that sin wrecks your life is because you're trying to run an operating system that you were never created to run. And as long as you try to run malware on your computer, it'll always crash it. It'll always cause issues. You weren't made for it. And you can't figure out in your head why you can't get out of the ruts that you live in. It's because you're trying to run a system that doesn't work. And the only way to get through the problem is really to deal with the problem. Don't put a rug over it. But he said, man, really look at it and deal with it. You've got to figure out that on some basic level, because you were created to be right. The word says that after the fall of Adam and Eve, we were created with sinful desires. You're already in conflict. Do you ever watch a kid? We were the proud parents of a single child, still the proud parents of a single child. My kid was texting me during worship, telling me he missed me and happy Father's Day. And I was like, I'm just going to stop worshiping and love on my kid because my first calling is to be a dad. Everybody should have amened that because I'm going to do it anyway. My wife and I, when he was little, now we hold his hand like this, like he walks us. But when he was little, we used to hold his hand like this. Now, what would be bad is it wasn't bad like when we went shopping with Tracy because she pretty much led us through the store, right? Because girl stores, there's nothing else I want to see. Nah, I'm just there, right? I'm just a happy participant, support my wife. No, for real, I like shopping with my wife. But when we go to somewhere like Bass Pro, right? In the back of Bass Pro, if you've never been to one, in the very back of Bass Pro, there's like this ginormous, like floor-to-ceiling aquarium. And off to the left, at some of the most of the Bass Pros we go to are the boats. And off to the right is like some apparel and some like cool gadget stuff and all that. So we would have our son like this. And my wife would see cool apparel. My son would see fish. And I would see boats. And we would all three, going in the room, would go in different directions. And you know who paid the price? My son. Because that poor fellow, I think he's so big because we stretched him. And he'd be like, right? Here's the thing, your life a lot of times, if it's like mine, feels that way. Like you're being pulled in so many different directions, like your heart wants to do good. But there are these things that you feel pulled, and it's because you're in the natural, you're trying to run two systems at the same time. That godly system that you were created to be right for, and then there's this other system that when sin entered the world, that's trying to run there, and you can't figure out why you keep running these programs and they don't work. So watch this. The answer is so cool. And I'm gonna go a little bit more teacher and a little bit less preachery today. Now watch this. He said that we're in Tice. So we've got this natural desire to want to do bad things. And then when we kind of start getting those under control, sometimes we're enticed. Like being carb free on a Sunday morning and Sonny brings 3 dozen donuts in here. That's enticement. David, right, in the Bible, loved women. He loved women so much that when they wanted to figure out if he was dying, they put a young hot virgin in his bed, and David didn't do anything. He said, he's dying. Okay, for real. I mean, that's like in the Bible. Like, David was a dog. I mean, like, he loved God and did some great things, but David had this thing that if you read the Bible, it women were the thing that messed David up. So David, even before Bathsheba, liked women a lot. Like, David didn't need any help messing up with women. Like, Samson didn't need any help messing up when it came to women. Any guys see a trend going here? But Bathsheba was on the rooftop in the middle of the day in a fairly low building because she was seen from the king's palace, right? Buck naked, taking a bath. Now, was Bathsheba all innocent in that? No. And when David looked at it, he was enticed. He didn't have to act on it, but he wanted to. Like David didn't go, man, I don't want to. It's like this. Ladies, if you see that guy with the pecs and the six pack, you don't go, oh my Lord, I don't want to look at that. What is that hideous? I'll take my husband's one pack and. No, you go, that looks pretty good. Men are no better. I see a big hamburger. No, I'm just kidding. But it's Father's Day, and I'm not stepping in the guy's side of this one at all. And all the men said, amen. So watch this. Here's what it says. So we realize that we all have desires and that we're enticed, that we really want to do this stuff. It says, when desire, watch this, you'll like it. Desire is the beginning. Desire in and of itself doesn't make for sin. I can desire a hamburger, but if I don't eat it, I'm not going to gain any weight. Because every time I ride by Cookout, I have a desire for Cookout. I could have just eaten and I ride by and smelled the smoke coming up. Can I get a witness from any other fat people in the room? Where you ride by there and you're like, I did this the other day. We were riding down the road and I went, I want a milkshake. They're not cooking milkshakes. So watch this. So we have desire, but desire unacted on doesn't do anything. True? So desire has to take us somewhere. Watch this. It says, but when desire has conceived, there's a point of conception. Now, what does that look like? That's when that desire turns from being just a thought into getting in the drive-thru. Because you know, you can commit to your sin. It's the point from when going, ooh, he looks good, to the next couple of thoughts that start running through your mind. When it goes from just being a passing thought into something deeper. Now watch this. Abortion is a big topic in America right now, right? I believe that life begins at conception. I've watched videos of abortions inside the womb, and I've watched the baby react to whatever. So here's the thing. Your desire can be aborted at conception. So when you see that your desire is moving into this deeper place, there's where you can abort. And you won't get the byproduct of your desire. Watch this. It says, but when it's conceived... Oh, my Sharpie's going to let me down. That one's got to go. And then you've got to give birth. Have you ever noticed that something that starts, it's just a thought, and then it's acted on, always grows into something bigger than what you thought it was going to be? It's like this. Well, I'll only tell, you know, I've got this desire to make people happy, so I tell them what they want to hear, even if it's not the truth. And then the next thing you know, I'm lying all the time because I've got to cover the first little lie because I got this desire to make people happy. And now I'm not living in the reality of who God called me to be. I'm trying to make everybody else happy and I can't make God happy. And now my life's spinning out of control. Right? So I've got this desire to look at things that I don't want to. And I begin to act on it. And now it's growing and taking me into this place that I don't really want to be in. It's starting to affect my relationships and it's starting to affect, right? So I've got this desire to keep friends, and I'll do it at any cost. And now they're taking me places that I don't want to go, and the things that they're giving birth to in my life are wrecking me. Watch this. So then it gives birth to sin. Now notice that until this point in life, this is the first time that Scripture really begins to allude to it as being sin, right? Because it says this. It says that when the desire has conceived and sin gives birth to sin, so we have this desire, and the desire takes us to conception, and conception leads us right into sin because it's that moment that we begin to act on it. and it begins to bring fruit into our life that it begins to destroy us. And then it says this, and it gives birth to sin, and sin grows up. Because here's the problem. Unrepentant and unaddressed sin only gets bigger and 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 bigger. Till ultimately it takes me to my death. Well, is that death always a spiritual death? Yes. Yes, because sin always takes us to a spiritual death, and that death is hell, because sin separates us from God, right? Unrepentant sin separates us from God. But in addition to that, it can have short-term consequences. So I start to desire this other woman. I begin to flirt with her. Then it turns into full-fledged adultery. And then it keeps getting worse. And then it blows up in my face. And now it's killed my relationship. I just started trying to please people. And then I started acting on that desire to please people. And then it started blowing up. And then it got horrible. And now I don't have any friends. And I got fired from my job because they all think I'm a liar. And so how do you do it? How do you break the cycle? Because I think it's ironic that when James talks, he talks in a circle. It's a causal effect. Can I talk? It's Father's Day. Can I talk to my men? It takes three things to make a combustion engine work, right? Air, fuel, and spark. So if you take any of those out, you're just going to pull the lawnmower. Anybody remember the push mowers? Oh, yeah. Sweat dripping off your nose. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. But a mechanic is going to check three things, right? They're going to unscrew the gas cap. They're going to look at the fuel, and not only look at the fuel, but they're going to make sure that there's, in our ethanol generation, there's no water in the fuel. And if there's good fuel in there, then they're going to go to the spark plug and they're going to take it out and put it on the thing. They're going to make sure there's spark coming out. Then they're going to take the air filter off and, does this make sense? And they're going to go through the systems to get air, fuel, and spark. So to take any of these out, oh, I didn't bring my eraser in here. Is this pretty static? Yeah, man, we're always going to have a desire to sin. Cut me off on the interstate. I'll have a desire to give you a symbol that is reflective of the grade I think you've earned as a driver. And it's less than two. I have a desire to do that. But I know that if I give way to that, and it goes from being a desire to really something I'm contemplating to something that I'm acting on, that it'll end up taking me somewhere that I don't want to go and will end up destroying my life or my ministry. It was easy for me just to keep my finger down. My wife sometimes, when it happens, she'll go, don't give them the look. Because while I can't flip them off, right? I mean, is that a negative habit in a pastor? Like if I rode by just randomly, she, right, that's not good. Like I said, is that bad? And one person went, right. Does that mean the other 99 think it's okay? I'm just trying to get a frame of reference. But, man, have you ever done this? You ride by and you get even with them and you give them the look. Like, I think one of my spiritual gifts is teaching people to drive through my car. Sad Philistine. Right? So what if, thank you, what if I can't, this is a static, so desire is static. I think death is static. I know that when sin grows up, these two things can't change, right? But what if I bail out at conception? What if I go, man, I'm thinking about this a little bit more than I should. I've got to stop. And if you really want to stop, call the person that it's going to hurt. Is that good? Or abort it as you birth it. I'm getting ready to do it, so now I've got to stop it. I've got to. And let's say it gets all the way to this point. Let's say you get all the way to right here. Let's say you've acted on it and it's become full-blown sin. Does that mean we're now, I mean, we just got to walk this thing out? Because, man, that's really the lie that the devil tells you, right? Because I'm this far into it. What if at this point, when I figure out that maybe this, because let's be honest, you can go from desire to sin in about 2.1 seconds, maybe quicker. Do you usually recognize it when it hits this point? I'll be honest with you, desire, I don't always really recognize it because it's almost internal. Sometimes I recognize it when I'm contemplating it and I'm conceiving it in my mind. Sometimes I don't. Like, have you ever started daydreaming about something that was sinful and you really didn't? Like, if you cut me off on the interstate, sometimes I plot how I could get back at you. Or thank you. I mean, am I like the only person in here? Like, you're riding down the road and you're like, you know, I know how to do that pit maneuver. And there's nobody else on the interstate. I bet I could get away with it. Or you hear like somebody abusing a kid and you're like, you know what I'd do? I'd find an empty well in the middle of nowhere. And after I tortured them, and you know, I could lay in the torture out in your mind. And it involves ants and honey. And those little sticks that, anyway. And then you're like, you know what I could do with the body? I bet I could get away with it. I mean, is this hitting home with anybody, like, for real? But you don't realize it's there until, like, your heart is like you're, like, doing this stuff in your mind. Like, it's getting ready to hit full-blown sin. At this point, this is your bailout moment. When you really realize it's sin. Now, if you can bail out any of these two, grab your parachute and you're good to go. You're probably a better person than I am, right? Because there are some things I can kill it between these two steps. Between desire and conception, I know how to stop it. But most of the time, I'm more in the sin category before I figure I need to pull the parachute. This is when my dash lights start coming on. Because I know that if I stay in the sin long enough, it's going to grow up and it's going to destroy something in my life. This is the point where the death of that sin has to happen. Now, some things, if they're minor, man, it's just a conversation between you and the Lord. But if it's that sin that so easily besets you, if it's the thing you keep walking into over and over and over again, then you need to have a conversation with either your pastors or with somebody that's strong in the faith that you can really deal with it. Because sometimes it's rooted in the program between these two. Like, alcoholism doesn't just happen. There's a series of events that happen. Sometimes it's from pain. Sometimes it's from right. And if you can fix the pain, a lot of times you can treat the symptom. Affairs don't just happen. There were causal effects that led up to this being birthed. Addictions to pornography, addictions to temper, addictions to, right? I mean, pick your poison. Pick the thing that bothers you. Happens between the desire, the conception, and the action. So you can also imagine it this way. You can imagine, anybody ever have those cheap Walmart tables? And I've taught this before. And they got them three screw-in legs. They'll hold like 4 pounds before they break. Yeah, some of y'all have had stuff go crashing off of them. In order for you to sin, you've got to have time. Because nobody sins like... Let me change that one. Let me change this. Let's call this desire. I'm going to make it fit my scripture text, right? So you've got desire. We all have desire to sin, right? What about opportunity? Because you're not going to sin if you don't have the opportunity. What do you think the third leg should be? You got to have the desire to sin. You got to have the opportunity to sin. And you've got to have a time space for, I am going to make that time again. Now watch this. In order for that table to fall, how many legs do we have to remove? Just one. So if you put yourself in a different space around a different group of friends, involved in a different conversation, that sin will come crashing to the floor. If you put yourself in a different time frame, it won't happen. It's like this. If you've got a problem with pornography, don't look at your computer alone. You've changed the time that you look at it, the table's going to fall. You know what? I'm going to look at it around a different group of people. You've changed your opportunity. The desire for that sin will still be there. Because have you ever noticed that you desire sin, but you hate sin at the same time? I've got people that I've known that have grown up in the faith for a long time, and they'll condemn pornography, but then sit and watch soap operas all day. So soft porn is okay. Because did you ever see, like, Jim and whatever the other girl's name is, I don't even know, soap opera characters, and like they fade away to the bedroom scene and you think, I bet they just cuddled. No, you know exactly what, right? And then your mind plays that out. Check this out. I love the end of this. Verse 16 says this. It says, do not be deceived, my brethren. Don't be confused about what I'm about to tell you. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, to whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, which was Christ, that we may be that kind of first fruits of his creatures. He said this, he said, I created you to do good things and for me to do good things in your life. And don't be confused that the good stuff going on in your life isn't me. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think part of that is when James writes this, he said, don't get real whacked up by this. Don't like leave here going, I'm a filthy sinner, there's no hope, right? Don't leave here doing that. Leave here going, you know what? In order to break this cycle in my life, all I've got to do is get rid of one thing. All I've got to do is get rid of one thing. Because if I get rid of this thing, guess what else goes away? And what am I left with? I've just got a desire. Or I can go, I've got a desire and I've been thinking about it, but I haven't acted on it. Whoop, whoop. Because remember, Jesus said, such as a man thinks in his heart. Man, if you think it, you've already done it. Well, can I bring this into clarity a little bit more? That wasn't just the thought popping in your head. When Jesus is talking there, he's talking about when you start getting in it, like you're doing it. Like you're acting on it, like you're, it's moving from that conception point to where you're acting. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about that random thought that pops in your head. He's talking about it when it starts getting played out. Because if you play it out long enough, you're going to act on it. And Jesus said, man, if you're playing it out to that point, you might as well go ahead and do it because you've already sinned. You've already put the wheel in motion so much, you need to deal with it. So here's my thing. If you'll understand, you'll always have a desire to sin. But if you can stop this wheel before it gets turning, you can find a freedom in your life that you've never had before. Do you receive this today? If you will, let's just pray. Father, as we come to close today, I just thank you so much for not only the fact that you loved us enough as a father to die for us, but Father, you loved us enough to show us how to break free from sin. God, that while we may have a desire to sin because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we don't have to act on it. We don't have to be captive to it. We don't have to be led around by it. Father, today I just ask that you give us the honesty with ourselves and with you to deal with these things that are going on in our life, Father, to deal with the places and the spaces in our life, God, that we need to find freedom in. Because, God, you said that whom the Son sets free is set free indeed, God, that you will set us free. You will let us break those cycles if we'll do it your way. Just wondered this morning, is there somebody in here who says, you know what, Pastor, maybe I need to rededicate my life. Maybe I need to give my life to Christ for the first time. Or you know what, if you fall in either one of those two categories, will you just slip your hand up real quick? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out, but I just... There, one. I believe the next group of people that I really want to pray for this morning are people who go this, you go, Pastor, you know what, this message was for me. I've been walking in some cycles in my life. And let me tell you something, you're not the only one. But maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I feel like the Lord really spoke to me this morning, and these cycles in my life, I'm going to work on stopping. I'm going to begin to take those pieces of the puzzle out so that I keep running in the circles that are leading to my death. I'm not going to embarrass you this morning, but I just want to pray for you. If you're here this morning, you go, you know what, Pastor, that's me. Will you just have the courage to stick your hand up and just go, Pastor, that's me right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Will you just stand to your feet? I just want us to pray together because you're not alone. If you raised your hand or if you should have raised your hand, I want you to know this. You are not alone. Now, I want to say it again until you hear my heart. You are not alone. You are not the only person that sins. You are not the only person that battles sin. You are in a room full of people that are saved by the grace of God, but aren't perfect in it. Father, this morning, for every person that had the courage to raise their hand, Father, I pray that they also have the courage to endure. God, to keep working on this until they break that cycle by the power and the grace of God. God, I thank you that you did not create them alone. Father, we are all in that same sin battle. And Father, if we have the honesty and the integrity and the courage, Father, to face those demons, those attacks on our life, God, those sinful desires that are just naturally in our DNA, that Father, you'll give us the strength to break them, because God, I believe that it's your desire that we have freedom. For Lord, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, today, let every person that raised their hand again in the freedom of Jesus Christ. God, knowing that you are breaking those chains, those cycles off their life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.